Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Xbox The Box and Xbox Podcast, episode 80! My name is Potato, and I'm with my good friend, Alice.
Hello, my pronouns are she, they, and we're already into the thick of spring, and I just realised, like, we're just less than 2 weeks before we get to Easter. Yeah. But then, lots of good Easter memories associated with it. But it's just hard to believe he's in March instead of April again. But that happened before to me.
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much skipped over the entirety of February. Our last episode is on the 31st of January. So we apologise for having such a big gap in our schedule. But we haven't really got a regular cadence.
That's all right.
And it's, and honestly, there's not really been any Xbox news. It's been kind of dead since they had that showcase where they explained like what games are going third party and stuff. There's not really been a lot of news, honestly. Which we covered that anyway on the channel as well in reactions. If you want to go check them out after this episode, they're on the channel as well.
And I've also went through like COVID. So yay!
Yay for that. Ugh, God. So yeah, thank you for sticking with us while we've been gone. We appreciate it. But we're back again for episode 80, and we'll hopefully do an episode 81 and so on. We don't know when, but we will. The channel will remain active, just not weekly podcasts anymore, unfortunately. But we'll try and do it as often as we can. Anyway, that being said, it has been a while since we've had a podcast, and stuff's happened, I guess. So I'm going to start off with some big news in my life. I have an Xbox handheld. Ooh, also known as the ROG Ally. It's a PC in the shape of a Nintendo Switch. 550 quid. And it plays all your Game Pass games on it. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Pretty cool. I'm not really a PC gamer, and this does have the issues that PC gaming does have. So you have to update Windows, update the Xbox app, update the games, Steam. Update Steam. You can play Steam games on here as well. So I have Steam, Xbox, I have Remote Play from PlayStation. So I could play like my entire library of games on here. I've basically been playing Vampire Survivors on here, getting all the achievements. And Warhammer 40k bolt gun, but this game, this can run.
Oh, so that's what it's, yeah,
bolt gun. But this gun. This can play the latest games from Xbox. So this could play Starfield, it could play Persona 5 Reload, which I've played both of those games and they both run really well on it. But I've mainly been playing smaller games. It's weird. I can literally play the most powerful games in the world on this thing, but I like to play Minecraft and Vampire Survivors. This is my Minecraft Vampire Survivor machine at the moment, even though I have both those games on Switch. So this is the ROG Ally. Ooh. And it's my personal handheld Xbox. But if the rumours are true, we might be getting a handheld Xbox soon anyway. So maybe I've gone too soon here. I'm trying to open it, and then also it'll do stuff like this, where like it won't work when I want to show stuff off. I wanted to show what it looks like on the inside, but it's not working. Cool. Well,
You've been saying about the small games, so it might be the best time for you to get Pizza Tower finally.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. Why haven't I got Pizza Tower? So then you get the game library, which puts all your games on there. So this is my current library on my ROG Ally.
Is that a ROG library? Is it?
Yeah, it's the library. It's the Acer library that you can get. That's what it's called now. But it's like the. Armory. The Armory is what it's called. So I got Steam games, I got Epic Game Store games on here, I got Xbox games, I got Blizzard games, what's it called? BattleNet. I want to start emulating games on here. I think this would be a really fun fun system to play Pokemon the Fire Red or whatever with like randomized Pokemon and stuff like that. That'd be hilarious. Pizza Tower, thank you for reminding me. I will purchase that and play that because you love that game.
And it's 33% off in a spring sale. So grab it while you can.
So I mean, the main question people will ask is this the Xbox handheld we've always wanted? Yes and no, is my answer to that. It plays most Xbox games, but then it doesn't play all Xbox games. Like, people will say, oh, what's the point of buying an Xbox when you can play everything on PC? That's not necessarily the case. First-party games, they're all on the Xbox app on the ROG Ally on the PC version. But if you bought a game on Xbox, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have it on the PC as well. You might have to buy it twice. Some games, they do have the nice Play It Anywhere features, like Persona. I got Persona 4 Golden on there. I got Don't Starve on there. I got a couple of games where basically they work on both. But then there's a load of games in my Xbox library that I'll have to buy again if I want to play them on the ROG Ally, which is annoying. And then also, Game Pass has stuff like Far Cry and Star Wars Jedi Survivor and stuff or whatever on Game Pass, but you need to download the EA Play / Origins or Ubisoft online, which kind of suck and kind of get in, they kind of brick wall it a little bit. So it's not quite the Xbox experience.
I was going to ask. So given, like, I know the Steam Deck does Steam, and yes. I don't know much about the other stores, because Asus spoke earlier in the moment, it's like, it's really good if you want Game Pass, if you want to get the games into it. And the fact you mentioned, like, EA Play and Ubisoft, it just leads to my question. Like, doesn't they allow you to download EA Origin, yes, Epic Games and Ubisoft on it?
Yes, it does. Well, so this is the ROG Ally's, like, control menu, but if you just do this... No, wrong button. I'm panicking because I'm on stream. If you push this and then show desktop... It is a PC. It is literally a PC.
Oh, wow.
It's a full-functioning PC. That's the cool thing about it. I've bought a dock, which was about £20, which plugged straight into my TV, and I bought a £20 magnetic keyboard. Whoop. Falls out. £20, Bluetooth. And it's essentially a working PC. I could do video editing in it. I could do whatever I want. It's essentially like having a handheld PC. So it does all the stuff the PC does great, but it also does all the stuff the PC does badly. So it has the pros and cons of a PC, essentially. So now I'm officially a PC gamer. I have access to the PC. I'm a part of the PC Master Race in a way. But if you want the seamless action of an Xbox, it's not quite there yet. It still has a couple of things, but if you have a good Steam library, if you don't care about Game Pass too much, if you got a load of games on Epic and all that, then maybe it's worth doing. I want to get GOG on here. I want to try and get The Witcher 3 on here would be sick. I haven't got that on here yet, but. Oh, and also, it's only got 0.5 terabyte of memory on it, about 500 gigabytes. And I bought an SSD card to expand it, which is supposed to be 1 terabyte, but it's already glitched out. And there's a known bug with this, where the fans by here, like, melt the SSD drive. Your card...
I think
there's
more of a design...
It's a design flaw.
A design defect. And then that's right.
So...
That sounds like a serious.
It's a serious defect. So there's ways of getting around it, but yeah. So there's only got 0.5 terabyte of space in it, so you've got to be a bit more picky with the games. Because I was going to have Starfield on here, but I'm like, that's nearly 200 gigs, and that's literally half my space gone in one game. So I've been a bit more picky. That's why I've been playing smaller games on it, because it's like I don't have to pick and choose as much. I can have them all on here. So it's a really cool device. I'm loving it. Not perfect, but nothing is it? But if you love PC, if you're a PC gamer and you want a PC gaming system that you can play on the move, this might be worth doing. However, if you're like Phil, because I've had this discussion with Phil, like, from PS We Trust, he's more of a Steam gamer. If you play only Steam games on your PC, you're probably better off getting a Steam Deck, because it's more suitable for Steam games. It plays most Steam games. But if you want to play Game Pass games, you need to get one of these, or a Logitech. And there's a Logitech one, which is like even more expensive. But this is the this is the ideal Game Pass portable machine. This is the Xbox portable until we have an official Xbox portable, which might be coming later on this year or next year. So, highly recommend.
That leads me to say that Steam Deck uses a Linux operating system, and it is limited. I mean, it's possible you can install Windows on it,
yes.
But I think I was more leaning towards Steam Deck because it seems as if Valve may have like got a design fixed out, and it's perfect if you want to play games. But I would definitely see Asus Ally to be for like having more features at hand. Like, how does this handle things like Discord on the Asus Ally, for instance?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't have Discord on here yet. I probably should. But it's just a as I said, it's just a PC. So I imagine it'll just work like a PC. Like, you could literally use it as a personal computer. It's a powerful PC as well. And it's a handheld. This is almost as powerful as my laptop, which is a gaming laptop that I spent £1,000 on. And this, I paid £550 for this. It's pretty sick. Essentially, if you just want to play Steam games on the move, I think the Steam Deck's probably your best bet. But if you want to do other things on the move, like play other, like Game Pass, Epic, EA, Ubisoft, or like, I downloaded Pokemon Showdown on here, so I can do Pokemon training and stuff. I think this is a bit more versatile. But if you want a more like console kind of experience that's just Steam, then the Steam Deck's better, I think. But this, I really like this as well, because I like the Steam Deck as well. I was trying to decide if I want this or the Steam Deck. And because I'm a massive Game Pass fan, I got this. So, highly recommend the ROG Ally. Check it out. £550. It's about £100 more than an Xbox Series X. And I think it's worth the money. I'm personally going to still be playing my Xbox more, but it's nice to have this as a portable option. When I go to Australia next to visit my relatives, I'm going to be playing this on the plane for 24 hours. I know I am already. That's the whole reason I bought it. For the one flight.
Be sure to get a battery pack.
Yes, battery pack. I've already got a battery pack. Where did I put it? It was right here 2 minutes ago. No. But yeah, I got a dock and a keyboard, so you could literally use this as a PC as well if you wanted to. And it's pretty sick. Ooh, external car drive has been detected, even though I removed it. Cool. Anyway, yeah, recommend. And also, little things. Like, it has a fingerprint sensor by there, so you don't have to put a code in every time you want to log in. You just put your finger on it and it turns on, which is sick. And it stops people just going onto your ROG Ally and like stealing the information or whatever. So instead of putting a password in every time, you can just put your fingerprint prick on it, which is like, I know that's on mobile phones, but it's a nice little feature for a handheld console, which I love it. I would give it, should I give it a rating out of 10?
Just say that Asus Ally is just supreme.
Yes.
But I think, bear in mind, I haven't really tried it, neither with the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Because with Steam Deck, you can get more space with the high-tier OLED for quite a similar price compared to the one that is currently discounted like Amazon and Currys, which you can get for $550. Yeah. But if you pay a teeny-weeny bit more, you have 1 terabyte storage with the anti-glare screen. But then you'll be as limited compared to like, say, the Asus Ally, that I don't know, like, you can put Windows onto it, but I do find the interface to be much better than expected, because not only it gives you the Windows desktop, I feel as if you had to fiddle with it, but it does give you like a extra menu that lets you see the arsenal and other features as well.
So I mean,
that's really helpful.
The button by here brings up the entirety of your arsenal, which is like your list of games and your apps. And then this button by here is going to give you like menus, and you can just click show desktop, and you can go back to a Windows desktop. And also, there's buttons on the back, and if you push this button and left on the D-pad, I think it is, it'll do, like, it's basically the shortcuts using that. So it can do shortcuts, like you'll bring up like what's it called, like app, like app, the app like if an app's frozen or whatever, you could like bring up the thing that makes you let you close apps, and you can open up, and it also could open up different partitions and stuff, and different games and stuff like that. So it's got loads of little nice little features that you didn't even realize, and the sticks glow, which ooh, fancy.
They glow in the dark. But can you turn them off?
You can, yes. I have turned them off most of the time, but for showing it off today, I thought I'd turn the lights back on just to show it off. But I love it. I really love this device, and it's yeah. But if you get a Steam Deck, I don't think you can go wrong with a Steam Deck either. I think they're both pretty sick. There's not really. I don't think they're both pretty cool devices. And yeah, now I'm part of the PC Master Race. Yes, what of you guys? I'm still going to play my Xbox more than anything else, but I do like having my own personal PC that I can play games on. Looking forward to playing Aria History Untold on there, because that's not coming to Xbox, but it's coming to PC, so I can definitely play that on my ROG. Yeah. Do you have any other questions about it, or should we move on to the next part of the show?
Yeah, let's move on to the next part of the show. But this is really fascinating, and thank you for like showing this out. I just hope, I don't know if it's not already, then it should be like a highlight, because everyone is like dying to know what's like with it. But I just noticed like the SD card being close to the fans.
That's
being
the only, that's the
potentially
only
one
defect.
Of the flaws with it.
Yeah, that's the biggest defect on this thing. Yeah. Apart from that, it's a pretty seamless machine. It's pretty nice.
But yeah, is there any other flaws you have with it at the moment?
No, I mean, it's got the same button layout as an Xbox, and the same stick layout and everything. As it's got back buttons. It plays games perfectly on it. It's a little hefty, but you know what to expect as a PC in here. It's not as light as a Switch, put it that way, but it's still decent. Hang on. Here you go. Size comparison. There's my Switch. There's the ROG. So it's not much small. It's not much bigger. It's not much bigger than the Switch. It's about the same size, more or less.
Well, it's just
a bit thicker.
I got the. I think I got like the Hori grips for it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like if you attach the grips to the Switch, which is like extra padding with it.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it look like an Asus Ally, only like about 80% of it.
Yeah, but I got like this massive case for it as well, which is like it's like bulletproof, basically. You can drop this down a flight of stairs and it'll be fine. I'm not gonna try it, but I'm just saying that.
Oh no.
But yeah, I would recommend it to anyone who wants to get into handheld gaming, who likes Xbox and loves Game Pass. I mean, it's such cool. And also, Xbox has seamless cloud save sharing. I should have brought this up. This is probably the best feature, really. So you can start a game on your Xbox, like Persona 5 Reload, which I've done, and then you save the game. It saves the game to the cloud. Then you bring up your ROG, and then load up your save file, and you can continue exactly where you left off from. I mean, that's pretty like perfect. Seamless save files, which is sick. It's a really cool feature that only works on Xbox Game Pass games, but it's a nice little feature to have as well. But yeah, I recommend it. 9 out of 10.
Anyway,
10 out of 10. Boom.
Yeah. By the way, since you're showing your Ally, I got something else to show.
Ooh, what's Alice got to show? Da-da-da-da. What is it? Oh. No! What have you done? Alice, no! What have you done? Have you actually bought a PS5 or just a controller?
Well, I wish I did. But I already got a controller.
Oh, that's good. That's fine.
What happened is... I was looking out for, like, controllers that I would, like, deal with a fix, because in the last podcast episode, it was, like, saying I needed to have a remedy with the controller there. So I went over to nearest Curry's, found a box that's got a controller color, which is like I think it was like,
I like
doesn't
the
have them a lot anymore, and you've got like the cream red. So I found this one, and when I took it over the counter, it's like, oh, it's not in like the original. It just came out of the packaging, and they just opened up the cabinet with all the controllers left out because they used the boxes for displays. But it turns out it's just like, oh, it's missing some parts or it's being left out. So I just got it for like £5 off. because it's been left out of the box for quite a while. So now I've got the controller, so
yay.
But yeah, but
ooh, I Xbox love this
because yeah. But the reason I like this controller is because I got a PSP Red, which looks like pink, and it is one of my favorite console colors of all time because it's a colorful, there's like more of a fairly glittery one, but that those colors are amazing. I have a PSP like original, and then I have a PSP Slim, which is like a really much nicer system.
I had PSP and, as well. I did,
and it's just got a nice.
This is, yeah, this, is what I want to this is what I want a handheld Xbox, goddammit. if Xbox is not going to do it for me, but ROG will. Also, yeah, this the stand for the ROG Ally as well. You can do like the just put your ROG on it like that. It just fell out of the bag, so I just put it away. but yeah, no, that's
yeah. I, so I have a Vita recently, I brought up this
PSP as well. The red's nice.
Yeah, I got the. Vita Slim with the V2, but I prefer that to the OLED because it's more comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's a shame there's currently no way to give it an OLED screen, and that's the Vita's like biggest thing. But then, given that with the Switch and the Steam Deck getting OLEDs, it just seems like, well, I think the PS Vita is just redundant, and you just play it for the old PlayStation games. So
yeah.
But yeah, the reason I brought up the controller because this leads into what have you been playing?
Yay! Good question. Well, we both know what we've been playing. So what we both been playing has something to do with this. This is why I think you've mentioned it, right? We both been playing Helldivers 2. I'm obsessed with it.
did I play Helldivers 2?
Yeah, I mean, so in your defense, you still stuck to PC. You don't a shill like me and went into the PlayStation side of the war. I was playing it on PS5 with the PS We Trust guys. I'm already level 25, which is like one of the highest levels with a mech, and I've almost got the platinum trophy on it. Spencer already has the platinum trophy on it because he's a madman.
And you're close to the platinum too.
Yeah, I'm about two trophies away from getting the platinum on it. I'm obsessed with Helldivers. I really, really like it. And we were playing it last night, or at least trying to. I mean, that's the only downside with Helldivers. So in the PS3 Trust guys, they've all given it 10... Go on.
Before we get to this part, last episode, we were talking about games, and then you got Helldivers 2, which I thought you got on PC, but then you just got on the PS5, yeah. Which makes sense because you got the PlayStation 5 to play it on.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. I think I might be interested to check out. But given that you and the whole PS We Trust guys like really addicted to it, and it tells how much this huge game is, so I eventually caved in, bought it on PC, and it's really fantastic. Spent a few missions with it. Runs well on my RTX 4070. And usually runs pretty well even though ultra wide. And as soon as I just stepped into it and had some bits with it, it's just instantly reminding me of Chrome Hounds, which is an old Xbox 360 game where you customize your mechs, you pop in to do missions, and when you do the finish of the mission, it contributes to the map that if you win missions, you advance through the territory.
Ah.
And this is like Helldivers 2. It's basically Chrome Hounds, only it's more better and you have more stuff with it. And you even get mechs with it too, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, the mechs are a really high level thing, which is annoying. I've literally only just unlocked it and I'm like 40 hours into this game. It's like the most fun multiplayer game I've played since like Gears of War and Halo back in the day. This gives me Gears of War Horde mode kind of vibes to it, for sure. Like back in the day.
Or Firefight. But the biggest issue at the moment is it sucks in the friend invites with crossplay. And it's just one of the things that makes me feel like I could have bought a PlayStation 5 for this shit.
Yeah.
So because at the moment that if you quite often you'll find PlayStation 5 people on Helldivers 2, but if you were playing on PC, then you may not get to do the friend requests well, because currently there's a bug where you receive friend requests from people from the PlayStation side, but you cannot accept them. And we went through hours of dealing with it.
Yeah.
So one solution is that it kind of works for us is that both of us had, well, one of us has to go over to the mission, start the mission, and use a stratagem, which is one of those summonal features there. So yeah. You either throw the grenade to summon the SOS beacon, so it appears on another player's map. But as long as you pick the right difficulty and a planet and keep refreshing it, you find the one of the player's missions there that shows the game name tag of it. And if you see your friend there, you pop in and then you just like fight together. And when you finish, you remain part of a squad throughout the entirety of the game. Yeah. And once you left it, you have to go through the whole process again. So here's the really annoying thing is that we're doing the mission. Lewis has brought up the biggest tools and I really enjoy playing completing the mission objectives. And then the game crashed to me, left out, and I had to go through the recent players, but you cannot join the game unless you accept the friend invite.
And I'm like, sense.
Yeah, it's just, even Halo, it's just like allows you to join any of the recent players' games and join there. And yet you had to depend on like friends in order to join other people's games. And yet they couldn't even fix the simplest of flaws.
Yeah,
like, there's recently a patch for the game, fixes all those issues, and, like, fixes the issues of friend invites. But it doesn't even mention, like, even that is a known issue with the friend invite, that you cannot accept them. You cannot accept friend invites from PS5 on the PC version, and vice versa.
I mean, I mentioned this to you yesterday as well. I had the same issue with Davey, and we were both on PlayStation 5. So he sent, I sent him a friend request on the PlayStation 5 version of the game, and he wouldn't accept it, which is weird, considering we're friends on PS5, like the actual system. Like, it won't let me accept a friend request through there either, which is really weird. It's bugged. That's what I was about to say. So in the PS We Trust podcast, they talk about how much they love this game, and I love this game as well. I think it's great. They were all giving it 10 out of 10s, and I'm like, I can't in my right mind give this a 10 out of 10. Like, it's a 9, maybe an 8 out of 10, because I've had so many issues with matchmaking and stuff in this. And day one, when I played this game, I literally kept getting kicked every 2 seconds. Like, the internet just kept crashing. And then, a month later, a month and a half later, and now I'm trying to play the game with you, and I can't just invite you to a game. Like, what the hell? Like, that's like the most basic thing. I know they're only a small team, but they've got the funding of PlayStation behind you. Surely they can figure this stuff out by now. You know, PlayStation should be chucking money at these guys because they've got a massive hit here on their hands. And the longer these issues go on, the less people are going to keep playing it. And
It is published by Sony after all. So
exactly.
They need to organize this out and help out with our head because right now that to me this is definitely one of the games of the year. Nice gameplay, it's fun, addictive,
fun.
But yeah, it's not really fun in the moment because you have connection issues, game crashes they still need to catch up on, but they still need to make sure it's like really convenient for people to match up and play the game. Because otherwise, with those issues there, you just left playing with randoms.
Yeah.
And let me explain, like, the first mission that I came in before I started to play with you or any of the PSV Trust guys, is that step in, add a random join in, and as soon as I got killed, because I believe all of you got killed, you get instant respawn.
Yeah.
But if you die and someone else is alive, you had to call the stratagem to call for the reinforcement, and you're brought in. And guess what the other guy did? Just went on, ignored everything, and just... Yeah,
didn't bring you back.
Yeah,
that's annoying.
And it just seems like, even if I used the keyboard attached and get that player to deal with it, it just like couldn't even like call me in as a reinforcement. And this is like a simple thing to do. And yet, it's not that intuitive. And people just end up like... being selfish enough to like carry on gaming and not call us in, that's the problem with randoms. They can be like so noobish that they can't even like try to bring other people back to give them a hand, but they just carried on doing their own thing. Oh my god,
I'm enjoying the game a lot, but it can be annoying like that. I agree.
I love this game.
It's a lot of fun.
Really, it's great, great graphics, and it's really efficient. But it still has some a lot of teething issues that not even Arrowhead is like able to recognize all the issues with it.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those games which could be the first time where it actually works with the DualShock. It's not DualSense. And when I plugged it in, it works it instantly. Ooh. So I used the controller and I got the first taste of haptic feedback that I just thought it was like it's supposed to be a cool feature. But then I just realized, well, this is a bit weird because as you shoot your gun, I think it's when you get close to the ammo, you can just like feel as if you're running out of ammo there.
Don't like
but
it.
You had to like make sure you reload your gun just as it reaches a zero. Otherwise, you throw out the rest of the ammunition.
Yeah.
But another thing is, it's like one probably the most weirdest thing you have the controller is that by default your controller's microphone is on all the time.
Yes.
So.
Yes. There's a little button at the bottom to do that, but it's annoying at the same time.
You had to turn it on, make sure it's orange. And it's not as like glaring as that anyone says it is, but it can like eat up some of the battery too. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like Sony could have like left in the feature to turn it off by default or like leave a light alone. But it just seems like as if they're making it so that you're really always required to keep your microphone on. And not only that,
they want to like listen
whenever
to
you
Alice.
Unlock the
they want to listen to where you are while you're playing your games. So
But also that when you unlock the trophy, if you have a microphone on, it will catch you the moment you unlock a trophy and use any of you made like huzzah or some sort or banzai. It just records your sounds and attaches it to your trophy.
That's
and
amazing.
I just feel. This is just weird.
Violates you. You feel violated. Like, what the fuck was that? And he's like, boop. funny. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, that's a PlayStation feature in general. I mean, to be fair, to be a counterpoint to that, that's how I speak to the PlayStation guys. I use that microphone on the controller. I just plug my headphones into the controller. I use that microphone to speak. Is better than using a headset usually because I have a headset and for some reason they can't hear me through the headset. So this is a better way of doing it for me. So personally,
at least you know that because I was kind of imagining the scenario you're there. You just go into some of this airstrike and then Davey is just like, Lewis, what the fuck?
Oh, that happens and a lot.
It just picks up for the controller that when one of the trophy unlocks, you can hear like. Oh, here's a trophy. Oh, Davey swore it.
I mean, have you seen any of the videos on their Twitter? They always blame me for blowing them up. Like, Phil has a thing saying that I blow up all the time, and I'm like, look, friendly fire, zero kills. I'm not the one killing you. You're the one... it's one of those things. And I think I told you about Davey, when we were playing it the other night, it's like, oh, I might try the railgun out. And he goes, oh, I don't know about the railgun. You have to be a bit of a pro to be able to use it. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And he got like, and he thought I was really offended by that. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It's like, no, I'm joking. It's fine. It's just funny because it's like a backhanded insult.
And then your controller picks up saying, oh, fucking Dave. And it just gets transmitted to Davey as well.
Well, every time now I pick up a railgun, I'm like, I don't know if I can use this. It seems too complicated. Like, I say that's a joke every time I pick up the railgun now. I was like, oh, I don't know. Or maybe this is too much. I have to be an expert to use this.
Yeah, Stratagems like take some like learning curve of it. Like,
it's good though.
At first, we try to find a few silos, and none of us has just figured out what to do.
No.
So I have to bring up Firefox, find out. Oh, you have to summon a hell bomb.
Yeah.
So I just like take the Stratagem, get close to the few silos, put in the button combination, which I thought is really cool.
Yeah.
Summon it and then activate a hell bomb to defend it, but you have to make sure you keep your distance. Otherwise, you just get chucked all the way out of it when it explodes.
I mean, so... I'm lucky that I've been playing it with Davey and Spencer because they got the platinum on the original Helldivers and they're kind of obsessed with it and they know everything about it. So I'm just like, yeah, you just tell me what to do and I'll just copy you. It's like, oh, yeah, and yeah, push these buttons.
And then they have to, like, juggle with a hot potato, so, unfortunately.
But, yeah, I have a bit of a thing where I just blow everyone up, or, like, I use the airstrikes too much in that game. It's so much fun. But I like blowing shit up. That's why I'm here. I just blow shit up. Davey gets mad. He's like, no! I've been banned from using certain items in the game because I end up killing too many of our own teammates with them. So I can't use a mortar turret because it kills everyone. Can't use mines because I always get them in the wrong place and get in everyone's way. So I was like, all right. I'm not allowed to use
I'm going to look forward to playing with those PlayStation guys.
They're great.
I bet there's going to be so much fun. Oh, yeah. So it would be really fun when I step in and, like, play these guys up.
It'd be cool to level. It'd be cool to get you, like, because we're all, like, I'm level 25. They're, like, level 30 odds. And you're, like, level, what, 4 or 5? So it'd be nice to level you up and help you, like get you all your cool shit, get all the cool shit. Because you get really cool stuff the higher level you get, which is, like, yeah, it keeps you motivated, I suppose. I said the fact that I knew I was going to get a mech soon was like, oh, I need to play it more because I want the mech. Now I've got the mech, I'm like, yeah. And now I want to get this and this. So it's awesome. But yeah, we both like Helldivers. I don't know if we want to talk about it anymore this week because we're already like 40 minutes into the episode and we're not even into the news or anything yet.
That's all right. Make it the PSV Trust episode because we're talking PlayStation crap. But yeah, it's just like I really love to play more of Helldivers too because I'm starting to get into a huge grind with it. And it's definitely one of the games I can definitely use my super-powered PC, which I built last year.
Nice.
I mean, once I'm done, like, Halo Infinite, like, once I get the weekly rewards, I can just go into Helldivers 2, collect more medals to unlock more shit, and then do stuff like that. But do you recommend, like, doing more of solo play to grind levels while you're at it?
I haven't really done the solo play. I've mainly played it with other people, so it's more fun with people, to be fair. With your friends and stuff, playing it solo is not as fun, I don't think, but you could do it. Yeah, I mean, it might be easier to do it solo, less people getting in your way and blowing you up by mistake. I mean, that's the beauty of this game, is that it's very slapstick, like very it's like the there was a petition to get friendly fire put into this game, or like to block friendly fire. Like, you guys don't get what this game is about. The whole point of this game is you can accidentally kill each other by mistake. I've lost count many times I've walked in front of Davey and he's blown my head off by, like, with a sniper rifle or something. I'm like, oh no. Yeah, I'll have to try and get you in a game with us. Only issue is obviously you're on Steam, so we have to try and cross play it somehow, but we can figure it out, I'm sure.
It's basically Starship Troopers the game.
Yes.
Only with some extra humour.
It's very funny. It's a very funny game, very silly game. Oh, and also, before we move on, I also have to mention my character's voice is Spider-Man. What's his name? Yuri Lowenthal. So you can hear him screaming. So he's the voice of Sasuke or Spider-Man screaming, "For a Super Earth!" And like, "Liberty!" Just screaming. It's amazing.
Is it like Sasuke from Naruto?
Yeah,
it?
It's Sasuke! Naruto! Sasuke! Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But you also have a random voice. So every time you die, you may have a chance to have a woman's voice instead.
Yes, you can, yeah. You can choose which voice you have, but it is set as random by default. So, yes. But yeah, anyway, Helldivers 2. Great game. Check it out if you have a PC. If you don't have a PC and you only have an Xbox, I'm sorry you've wasted 20 minutes of your time.
So, well, we'll make sure we have chapters in so people can, like, skip that.
Yeah, yeah. But we have Halo Infinite. We've been playing Halo Infinite. That's an Xbox game. And that game is fun.
Yes.
Next game.
I've been playing so much of it that I played so much Husky Raids more than any other mode. And it's currently the grip ball and the biggest reason to keep playing Halo Infinite, and that's Husky Raids.
Yeah.
And so far, down to the second highest rank in Halo Infinite, gold. I think it's a assistant general or some sort.
Sorry, I am listening. I just had to move my leg because I was getting cramp.
But yeah, it's just like I've been playing it and I'm really close to getting diamond rank. But once you complete gold, you're only like 4% of experience in. So it's going to be a much bigger grind. But then it's all fun with Halo Infinite. It's just in the moment, it's just like, it's now more into the shop. And every wheeze, like now you, I mean, you get weekly and daily offers still, but you always get the same crap and they don't rotate it like every week for the whole month before they get to the new operation.
I haven't finished the Cyber Showdown Part 3 20-tier Battle Pass yet. I'm on that at the moment. I completed it. I think I'm like level 15, 16, so I'm not far off. But I need to go back and play more. I really enjoy it. I mean, I always enjoy Halo Infinite. This is why I'm a Halo... that's why I'm an Xbox fan. It's because I love Halo. And Halo Infinite's great. And I love it. I mean, it's possibly one of my favourite games of the year, even though it's been out for a couple of years now. I've been playing a lot of it. Essentially, it's basically been Halo and Helldivers and just swapping between the two. So,
but yeah, Halo Infinite is still, like, lots of fun. But Helldivers 2 might actually take my fancy. But yeah, it's just, like, more of the same, and you would be expecting to have more of a shop. But one of the bigger problems is that they don't give out Battle Passes in Mendement. You give out operations, which you can get for free. Only you have to pay to get a bonus content along with the permanent keeping of the pass there. But it seems as if it doesn't give you a lot of return, like extra credits, and you're left with so many XP boosts and not any challenge swaps. And it just seems like as if now the game wants your more of your money to get more content with it. And
unfortunately,
I know you said that like it's a free-to-play game, and yet you can pay for it to keep using it.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to Helldivers 2, you get credits and you can use it to get more content in the game. Yeah. Unless you decide to pay and then speed up the progression there.
I mean, be a Helldivers isn't a free-to-play game, as you've said. It's like £40 to buy it. And it's not a full-price game, which is nice, but it isn't. So you have to pay part of the game and then pay extra to get extra stuff, which I haven't paid any extra money on top of Helldivers yet, which is good, but there are battle passes and stuff you can buy on top of it, which is a bit annoying. But yeah, yes. I still like Halo Infinite. I think it's a really fun experience. You don't have to pay a penny to keep playing it. You can just play it as much as you want, but I still like to get all the battle passes. Every time there's a new battle pass, I'll always get it because I love Halo, so, and I'm obsessed. So I just wanted to mention a couple of other games I've been playing, if we're right to move on from Halo, or do you want to talk about Halo a little longer?
That's all right. They can still do it. So,
Persona 3 Reload, I've been playing a bit of. That game is sick. I really like it. I don't want to go into too much detail because I think I mentioned it last time. It's my current... I will say that's my game of the year, but it's probably Helldivers now. It's between those two. I really like them both. They're very, both very cool. Totally different games. You could really, it is literally comparing apples and oranges there. If you don't know the like Persona 3 story, you're playing students and at midnight there's a hidden hour called the Dark Hour where all spooky shit comes out and like only a couple of students can actually like realize what's going on, and you've got to go into this thing called Tartarus, which is this giant like 200 300 story building which each floor has different bosses and stuff on it. It's pretty cool. I'm really enjoying it. Game Pass has made me into a Persona fan. I've played a little bit of Persona 5 Tactica. I enjoyed Persona 5 Royal. I never finished it, but I got quite far into it. I've bought Persona 4 Golden to play on my ROG Ally. That's going to be my next ROG Ally game. It's going to be Persona 4 Golden. and I'm playing Persona 3 Reload. And I want to finish Persona 3 Reload. I'm determined. That game is really fun. And I'm really enjoying all the characters and stuff. It's just like one of my Japanese animes. I love it. It's really, it is very Japanese. It's very anime style. And if you didn't hear it before, there was a partner showcase like a couple of weeks back, all the DLCs come into Game Pass as well. So you could get the expansion pass that's just coming out at the end of the year. So I'm hoping to finish the base game before the expansion pass comes out for the like extra missions later on this year. So I'm excited to do that. And, you know, all the PlayStation guys are playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. This is a good JRPG that's on the Xbox, that's on Game Pass to to keep your mind off that. I honestly think I prefer it over that, but that's just, I know I'm probably on the outside of that. I like Persona. I think Persona's great. I prefer Persona over Final Fantasy. That's not really an argument we're going to have today, but that's just what I wanted to say. Only other game I played this really is I got all the achievements on Vampire Survivors again because they added a load of new achievements for space stuff. There's like a space gun now and space...
Oh, that's a Batman.
Ooh, it's a Platinum. That's the only thing. Xbox needs a Platinum, really. It does.
I agree.
I was having this. I was saying this the other day, while I was talking to Spencer the other day, is that the annoying thing about Xbox is different between PlayStation and Xbox. If you get 100% on a PlayStation game, you get the Platinum, and it still says you've 100% in the base game, but any add-on achievements get added onto it like a separate folder, essentially. Whereas Vampire Survivors have 100%ed it, and then they've added a load of new achievements. It's like, oh, well, you have 100%ed it now. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll get these other achievements. I'm gonna keep getting the achievements to keep myself at 100% because they keep adding new achievements to Vampire Survivors. So yeah.
Well, the achievements got a downgrade when we get to the Xbox One era.
Yeah.
Because it used to be like Xbox 360, like you get achievements, and you can like access them from the guide and check out other games.
Yeah.
But they turn the achievements into an app where it only shows you the achievements of the latest game. But if you want to check out all the achievements and the recent games played, you had to go to the whole achievements icon there, yeah, and you just check out all the achievements. But I think they just made the achievements a bit dirty, and it just get maybe like less interest in the achievements. Which begs the huge overhaul and keep it to the
they need to fix it.
The cheap, the former glory, but also that it just seems like the PlayStation trophies are like really nice, addictive, and it gives you this huge satisfaction when you get a platinum.
That's true.
But I recently found out that they changed the trophy sounds over to the PlayStation 5, so it's like you get this really nice sprinkly thing when you unlock trophies, but now the PS5 is just like but mellow.
Yeah.
Only the platinum, it's like you get much nicer sounds with it.
Yeah.
So, but I just prefer the original PlayStation 3 sounds because I love those sounds.
I mean, I do love a good platinum. To be fair, it's like I haven't mentioned this on the podcast. I don't think I mentioned it on the PS Retrust podcast. I got the like their equivalent to Game Pass on PlayStation because it was a reduced. I got it like cheap. And they had Undertale on there, so I just played through Undertale again and got a Platinum on PlayStation. And it's like, yeah, it was a day, it was like 24 hours I played it and I got a Platinum and it was nice and easy. And I was like, yeah, cool. Now I can move on with my life. So I would just, like, I got the Fountains of Gamerscore on Undertale on Xbox, but it's not the same as getting a Platinum on PlayStation. It's like, I don't know, something satisfying about having a Platinum. I would just love it if the Xbox just had something like, these are your completed games, and then, like, you get, like, a special, as you said, like, a sound effect, or like, boom, completionist, or, like, completed, game completed. Like, you know, that would be sick.
One change is that if you get an achievement that is, like, unlocked by 10% of the people or less, you get a rare achievement sound.
Ooh.
I've been getting loads of these because most people only, like, play the game for a couple of achievements and then moved on.
Yeah, that's most games are like that, yeah. So, yeah. So I have 100% of Vampire Survivors again. Boom. So that's my... I'm making sure I'm saying 100% on that game, even though they keep adding achievements. I'm coming back to get these achievements every time. I'm determined. I'm staying at 100%. And that's it, really. That's all I've really played. I played that on the Rogue Ally Vampire Survivors as well, just going to bring that back to the thinking in. But the achievement sounds didn't pop, so I need to figure out why that doesn't happen on the PC version or the ROG version. I need to look that up. Yeah.
I didn't get any achievements pop on the Steam version of Helldivers 2 or with any Steam game. And that's unless if I check on the Steam program, it shows I've unlocked achievements. So I need to look at that too.
They need to fix that. Steam I wish they made Steam achievements mean more. I like achievements. They're a nice little feature. I know most people don't care, but I enjoy them personally. Have you been playing anything else this week apart from Helldivers and Halo?
Yes. Switch Online, and ooh, I think I played a few games. Like, I played the Nintendo Game Boy games. Like, there's recent edition of Dr. Mario. Been playing it. And I've also went on Sega Mega Drive. I think it's the Sega Mega Drive Collection, wherever that is. Yeah. It's Sega Genesis Collection in the Americas. But I went in there and played Columns 3, as well as Columns. But I've been playing a lot of Fatal Labyrinth, which is like the mystery dungeon in waiting. So nice little bit of roguelike. And I just thought, I might buy this on the Mega Drive because I got the Analog SG along with the Mega Drive 2. Nice. So I got those and should be coming from eBay. In fact, I've been using eBay more. So I bought music CDs, games, and even like cereal packets.
Cereal packets? Okay, sure. Oh, yeah, I know you collect cereal packets. That's a thing you've mentioned to me before. So,
Hang a minute.
Talk to the hand.
If I just...
Oh.
Oy. I even got these up.
Nice. Frosties, they're great. I need to start collecting stuff like that. Maybe not cereal packets, but like maybe game, like classic retro games or something would be cool. I don't know, something like that.
Well, I did consider getting the Analog Pocket, but I'm not quite sure of getting it because right now you can like get this for... I don't know if they still have it in stock, because sometimes stock comes and goes. So just going to look up on that.
Well, Phil, because... I think Phil's got one and he really likes it, and he might be worth speaking to him as well. Also, speaking of Phil, he's just started his own YouTube channel where he does short short form videos about Steam Deck and Resident Evil and stuff like that. And he's a good pal of the show, so please check out his channel as well. Philip Hoy is the name of the channel, and he does shorts, so check that out as well. Just going to give him a little plug there. But yeah, he has the Analog Pocket, and he was showing off he was showing me all these like little handheld devices he's got from China, which looks really cool. I'm tempted to buy one for like for 50 quid. You can guess something that looks like a Game Boy that plays like every single game that came out before the PS1, essentially. So like all the retro games you could possibly want on this little tiny device like this big. That sounds sick as hell. Like a Raspberry Pi used to be a thing that did that as well back in the day. So
now, one thing that bothers me is that with analog systems, like they get the stock in and sometimes they sell out. Like I believe you can still get Analog Mega SG, which are currently sold out, but you only get one of the ones modeled after the Mega Drive games. And I think, you still have to wait on the stock for the Super NT, which is used to play Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. But you can still buy, like, Analog Duo, which is for, like, TurboGrafx games. But Analog Pockets, all of them have been out of stock, and have been in stock about 1 or 2 months ago.
Wow.
But even if you do, if you're lucky enough to buy it, you have to, like, you purchase it for $220, but when you order it, you have to pay, like, £220 due to the trading things.
So,
and then you had to pay import customs, which means you could be paying 70 quid. So you may end up paying a lot more for postage and packing and as well as imports. And that is pretty much like for us outside of the US, where we just get fucked more than in the US.
We do always get. And is that the one that you need the cartridges to play games on, or is that like the one which is that looks cool though. I kind of want one. It's got like the crank on it, which is weird, but it's cool.
no, I think you're thinking of the other system where it puts your program games and it has a dial. Analog Pocket is like the Nintendo Game Boy, only it's got extra buttons and it will play any of the Game Boy cartridges.
Sick.
But you need to pay for extra adapters. Like, if you want to play Sega Game Gear games on it as well, you had to get the Game Gear adapter. And likewise, you can get a pocket adapter set that lets you play Lynx, Neo Geo Pocket Color, and TurboGrafx games onto it.
Sick. So, I mean, that's cool. So we've about an hour into the podcast already. Shall we? You seem to have frozen a bit. Are you frozen? Are you still there, Alice?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're frozen. You're frozen for a sec. Anyway, should we just? So there's a lot of news articles. There's a topic of the show. Do you want to just skip over some of it and just like I don't know? Do you want to just talk about one or two bits of the news and then move straight into the topic, or just go straight to the topic? What do you think?
Well, Just like go for.
You turned into a robot on my side.
The news.
So,
that's. Well, the annoying thing is that there's already stuff underneath the ground close to my flat. So, yeah, I can literally get super fast broadband. It's just they haven't got a range for me yet. So, that's annoying.
It's not your fault. But yeah, I had a little technical issue there. But yeah, what were you saying? I thought we'd just skip over
the news.
We're going to try it. It's a lot of news here. I haven't got much time to really get through it all, but we'll go through it quickly if we can. Then, if you want to go through it,
I'll handle this. Right. I can speed run for it.
Speed run
now. The news: Rooster Teeth is down and are going to be shutting down in May. Now you wondered, what's this got to do with Xbox? Well, apparently, one of the first shows they had was Red vs. Blue, which is a machinima set in the Halo universe. And yes, I've recently been rewatching it because one day it will be removed on the internet. And if you got them on Blu-ray, which are currently hard to come by, then you're in luck because you've got them in the archive. But I think there's other ways in which you can archive the series, especially for the internet. But not going to be able to say too much about it. Nice.
Season 11.
But yeah, this affects Red vs. Blue, Ruby, Camp Camp, and Genlock. And the moment that Warner Brothers, who are the original owners of Rooster Teeth, they tried to sell the company to another company, but they couldn't find a seller. So they now have to go into talks to sell rights to Ruby, Red vs. Blue, and even Genlock. So they're in the talks while the company is still up, trying to wrap up everything before they close down in May. But it's got a little bit of a concern that they were going to have an update last week, but there's been no update, so we don't know what's going to happen to the Red vs. Blue's restoration, the last season of the show.
It's a damn shame, because there was the first proper Halo fan thing, and it was kind of made Halo even bigger than it already was. And I love Rooster Teeth. It makes me really sad that Rooster Teeth's done. I liked Funhouse. I liked Let's Play. I liked Achievement Hunter. The Rooster Teeth main family, and then the spin-off shows and stuff. It's really sad to see the end of Rooster Teeth. We have a whole massive, I think it's 45 minutes. There's a video of us talking about the end of Rooster Teeth on the channel as well, where we go into way more detail, and we talk about our history and stuff with it as well. So please check that out if you want to know more about our feelings on Rooster Teeth as well.
Now, the one quick question is, do you honestly believe Microsoft or 343 Industries should buy the rights to Red vs. Blue if Warner Brothers put them up for sale?
They should. Will they? Probably not. But I would.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to do it, but I don't think they will. But they should. Yeah. Sadly, I think
it would make sense for Microsoft to buy it because it is part of Halo. But their problem is trying to stream the episodes if they own the rights. So maybe they could give it to Paramount or anything like that. We don't know. But as for the rights of Ruby, it makes me wonder if Microsoft's going to buy the rights to Ruby as well. So
who knows? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Who knows? If
one of the ex-animators of Ruby is looking to buy the rights to the show, and it's already got a backing by a lot of the industry veterans or even the people who worked on Ruby before. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then realistically, I'm not sure that Ruby rights is just going to go out anywhere. Yeah. But I'm more interested to see how Red vs. Blue is going to get saved. If it's not by Microsoft, who else?
Who knows? I have no idea. And it's an excellent, because Red vs. Blue is a parody of Halo, or is part of the Halo universe. So if Microsoft doesn't buy it, then it's going to be a bit of a weird one. If Sony owns it or something, that'd be very strange. some kind of weird crossover between the two. But yeah, RIP Rooster Teeth. We're going to miss you.
Now, moving on to another news. I think it just comes off. Yeah, it's very recent, and this could be the breaking news, but who knows? Microsoft is today announcing some major changes to the Microsoft Rewards program, which includes plans to begin rolling out a simplified rewards experience while also recalibrating how users earn Microsoft Rewards points in the future. And the first big change is the old Microsoft Rewards apps will be retired very soon. And that good riddance, because I think it's really hard to get around it, and you had to do it like every day, so I got tired of it. But it also gets rid of like weekly sets of weekly streaks, and instead you get a weekly bonus in the rewards hub. So I think everything's moved over to the Microsoft Rewards Hub. So it just includes like playing games on Xbox and on PC, buying games on other eligible items in the Microsoft Store, searching the Bing.com, taking advantage of special offers and new releases, and visiting the Microsoft Rewards web dashboard, as well as you can earn rewards for achievements. So I think they're just moving over to Microsoft Rewards, which could be going out of a beta.
Okay, well, I need to look into that. I mean, Microsoft Rewards used to be a really cool thing that you could literally, if you played enough Xbox, you could literally cover your PlayStation, your Xbox Game Pass subscription from just doing the weekly rewards, essentially by just playing the Xbox, which was sick. I'm hoping that you can still manage to get enough points to cover your Game Pass subscription. I'm doubting it, though. I think the revamp probably means that you're going to get less points now, I imagine, because it was very, very generous before, and I think they're probably going to take that a little bit back and be a bit less generous with it, because you could literally get that. As I said, you can get a couple of months of Game Pass without even paying any money. You could just literally just farm it. Hey, you never know.
Next news. Game Pass doesn't have a lot of games leaving the Game Pass thing, but it's going to get some like huge hits. Ooh. And finally, you get to play Diablo 4 on the March 18th.
Diablo 4. If only.
Also, you get The Quarry, Evil West, as well as Ark Survival Ascended and Superhot, which means there's going to be a bunch of like really interesting games with it. So,
if only I could play Diablo 4 on my Xbox.
Along with other Activision games. But not only that, it looks like you can stream Diablo 4 too if it's on Game Pass. So that's really positive.
I can't wait to play it on my ROG, to be fair. I keep talking about my ROG, but it'd be such a good, that'd be such a good ROG Ally game. Just playing that on the move. Delightful.
Also, Xbox Insiders will be receiving an improved search experience on, say, Xbox Store. And it comes with AI enhancements. Ooh. So according to this blurb here, today a new search experience enhanced by AI, artificial intelligence, is available to the random selection of players. This experience provides improving results and greater flexibility, allowing you to search for any feature or criteria you can imagine, including concepts like cozy games or arcade races. To get started, launch a Microsoft Store and try searching for something new. So, what do you think of this being enhanced by AI?
I mean, I'm cool with it. I mean, we've had the discussion before. I love AI. I'm a bit of an AI, what's it called? A sympathizer. a lot of people hate AI. The word AI, they're like, ew, no! I love AI. I think AI is fantastic. I think it's the future of everything, really. Like, technology.
Based.
I know, like, a lot of people, like, I know, like, artists are, like, this taken away from artists, but to me, it's, like, it democratizes stuff, like, groups of stuff. So it's, like, if you're an indie team, you could do more things because you have AI than you used to be able to. If you, like, basically, you could compete with a team of, like, 400, 500 people because you have an AI assistant essentially helping you do things. And it's, like, people, like, going, people who draw, like, the way I always see it is, like, when people go, like, that's not real writing is when you're typing stuff on a keyboard, or that's not real art when you draw on a digital pad. It's, like, technology moves forward, and you unlock new things in technology and they enhance things. I think AI is an enhancement, and it's going to really help with stuff, and I think that is next gen is going to be an AI powered system probably, and it's going to have a lot of AI in it. AI is the future, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get used to it, like it or hate it. It's the future.
That leads me to saying that there's currently a rumor that iOS 18, which could be released later this year, may have additional AI stuff with it. So yeah, you could say this is already taking over a lot of places, but also there's like more layoffs. And now most companies are adopting AI methods. So I'm like, is this a moment where robots will take be over. Taking our jobs?
They took our jobs! They took our jobs! As I said, I like AI. I know AI has its negatives, but it also has a lot of positives. Like most technology, like people are like, the internet is evil, the internet is corrupting our kids and all that. But then if without the internet, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast. We wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't be able to have these friends from all over the world. You know, there are positives to technology as well. You don't, like, you know, don't be scared. It's a good thing, probably, hopefully.
Well, without internet, we may have better social lives outside. Touching grass.
Yeah, we'd be touching grass more, yeah. Yeah,
and probably just go around living in the Middle Ages, making duck patty and chucking out buckets of poop.
Lovely.
Even farming, picking up strawberries from plants, getting on a tractor.
Tractor. Welcome. Well, I'm Welsh, so I should be a farmer, really. Hanging out with my sheep.
And some potato farmers.
Potato farmer, so. Yeah. That's, in another life, I was a potato farmer. We know it. We know that has to be the case. But no, I mean, yeah. I don't think AI is something to... I think a lot of people are scared of AI. I'm looking forward to seeing what it can do, because it's some really cool stuff you can do with AI. I mean... If you look at the thumbnails for our last couple of episodes, spoiler, I mean, the AI.
Right, let's just move on. And Fallout TV show has been announced, comes with a trailer. Ooh. But ever since the trailer has come out and there's talks about it on, like, Amazon, it has been boosting players for the Fallout games, which, and yeah, there's increased numbers on Xbox, which means... There's more players playing Fallout 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So it seems like as if the Fallout TV show can pull off their One Piece. That One Piece got people interested in anime and manga more.
Yeah.
So if the Fallout comes out, we could see more popularity with the Fallout games.
Well,
do you think that's a good thing?
Well, I mean, the key example here is The Witcher as well. When The Witcher TV show came out on Netflix, you saw sales of The Witcher 3 skyrocket on like Xbox and stuff. And also with the Cyberpunk Edgerunners TV show, the Cyberpunk went up in sales as well. This is a really good way of getting more sales. I personally have been playing more Fallout New Vegas. That's again, I keep going back to it, but it's on my ROG Ally, so I have access to that. So I play Fallout New Vegas on there. I'm still looking forward to the Fallout 4 remaster. Where is it? What are you doing, Microsoft? Like, get it done. People want to play it. We want the remastered version of Fallout 4. It's good news. It was kind of expected. The TV show looks really interesting. I think it looks good. I've watched the trailers. I enjoyed both trailers, or all the trailers I've seen. But I'll wait to see. Like, you can't judge it completely from trailers. The trailers might just be the good bits, and then everything else is shit, for all we know. So
yeah,
so far so good. I'm optimistic. Fingers crossed. Are you looking forward to the Fallout TV show? Because I am.
Yeah, it should be interesting. But assuming you got a subscription to Amazon Prime,
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other news is that last two news. Overwatch 2 will no longer have heroes locked behind the paywall. So once they introduce a new hero, you don't have to pay anything because you get a hero for free. Likewise, it retroactively unlocks any released heroes, so you do not have to pay for something like a battle pass to get the heroes.
Okay.
So now you can get them for free. Also, they announced some other things like maps and new heroes as well. But then the truth is that I think the Blizzard kind of just fucked up with the launch, and now less players are playing it.
Yeah. I mean, people used to love... I mean, Overwatch 1, people were obsessed with that game when it came out. I know a lot of people who I knew used to love Overwatch 1, and now I never really hear about Overwatch 2. I don't think they needed to release an Overwatch 2. They could have just kept the first one going and, like, updated it. Does this encourage me to go play it? Probably not. I enjoyed Overwatch. I use Reinhardt and... what was the Grim Reaper? It's just Reaper, isn't it?
Reaper.
Yeah, I use Reaper and Reinhardt with the two IUGs. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, but I'm more of a Halo guy. Like, that's my shooter. I have a shooter, and I'm sticking to it. And, like, I think that's what most people are becoming like now. They kind of get they got their multiplayer game they gravitate to and stick with, really. I can't see myself going back to it, but it's nice that they're no longer paywalling the characters. I mean, that's cool for people. I mean, this might sound a bit fanboyish, but maybe they should not paywall the characters on Xbox and paywall them on the other systems, and then it gives you motivation to play on Xbox. Because Xbox, you own this IP now. You want to give people motivation to play it on the Xbox and get people on the Xbox playing Overwatch 2. I know it sounds like a fanboy thing to say, but, you know, give some benefits to Xbox players for playing Overwatch. Like, it makes sense. Or just give us extra skins or stuff. Like, give us, like, a cool green skin for just being Xbox players or something. I don't know. I mean, the fact that this is an Xbox IP now is really strange to me. It still hasn't quite sunk in that Overwatch is an Xbox IP. It's weird to think. But, yeah. Interesting. I'm not going to play it probably, but it's good to know some people are going to enjoy themselves. Enjoy. If you enjoy Overwatch and you wanted to play some characters you haven't had a chance to play, go ahead. Have fun. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, to me, I kind of moved on from that. I used to enjoy a lot of Overwatch, and then I just moved on for other systems than the PlayStation because I was playing it on, like, PlayStation 4 and got on PC, but then I was just sticking to Xbox. But as soon as the Overwatch 2 came along and turns out to be a huge DLC for Overwatch,
basically,
I just moved on from it, I'm afraid.
Me too.
And it's just got some much better multiplayer games too.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, it's alright. It's not a bad game at all. It's a fun game to play. Go check it out if you fancy playing a hero shooter. It's nice to have a bit of variety in our gaming space. It's all right. It's not a bad game by any means, but yeah, I'm not going to go back to it probably. So there's one more piece of news.
My last bit of news is that Halo Infinite receives the biggest update, and the biggest thing is that they overhauled an entire networking aspect of it, which means there's a better anti-cheat and there's better networking, which means you should be able to play the game much better without any issues on the network. Also, it's got 6 extra maps added to squad battle.
Ooh.
And it looks as if it is more like these are obviously Forge maps, but it actually takes the old maps and brings them over to Halo Infinite. So if you played any of the previous Halo games, you're definitely made home with it, so it's quite good.
Sounds good to me. I'm definitely going to play that. Join us, we'll play some Halo. Add me on Xbox and we'll play Halo together. So yeah, should we move on to our topic of the show?
Yeah, sure.
Topic of the show. So earlier this week the PS5 Pro leaked. So the specs for the PS5 Pro have officially, well, have leaked. I wouldn't say they officially leaked, but they have leaked by some reliable sources. And it honestly doesn't sound that impressive. Am I wrong? I mean, what do you think?
Well, yeah, so basically it's been leaked, the specs for the PlayStation 5 Pro, and it could be just a leak, just like the new Xbox with more efficient things. But it's been leaked out, and this reveals that memory doesn't say much about how much it's got more. It could be just the same 16 gigabytes, but it's got similar bandwidth, but it does have additional... It's just got increased bandwidth of 448 gigabytes per second up to about 576 gigabytes per second. I think it's gigabits, so I'm not sure, but it's a 28% boost, whereas the CPU is up by 10% from 3.5 gigahertz to 3.85 gigahertz. But the biggest change is the teraflops of the GPU, which is up by 3 times the amount. So it does sound as if they're getting a bit of a boost, so it could run more games in 4K complete with ray tracing. What do you think?
Well, I've heard essentially the CPU is more or less the same. As you said, it's got a 10% boost, but it's not. It's going to be a bit of a bottleneck from what I've heard. I mean, I'm not an expert on PCs, maybe I'm wrong, but from every expert I've heard online, they've all said that this doesn't seem like much of an upgrade at all. It seems like, it's a mid-gen refresh, I suppose. But the PS5 box I own for my PS5 says 8K available on it, which is bullshit, because it's never anywhere near that. A lot of the games don't hit 60 frames per second, or even 4K. 4K 60 frames per second on most games is like a pipe dream. It'd be nice if some games would do that on the PS5 Pro, but honestly, don't think it's worth the money. Well, it depends how much it costs. If it's like 200, 300 quid more, definitely not worth the money. I'm still trying to justify buying a PS5. I bought it and I still can't really justify it, thinking about it now, looking at it. The only like exclusive game that's not on PS4 or PC is Spider-Man 2, and I enjoyed it, but I literally beat it in like 24 hours, and like maybe I should have just not bought a PlayStation. Honestly, I don't like, every good game is either on PC or PS4. I don't see the point of getting I wouldn't recommend a PS5. I got it and I barely use it. I don't see the point of buying a PS5 Pro, especially because the PS5, most games on PS5 are PS4 games as well. Like, they've barely scratched the surface on the power of the PS5. And it's the same with Xbox as well, to be fair. There's not many games that have really pushed these systems as it is. So I don't see the point of having a mid-gen refresh when the consoles haven't even been pushed to their limits yet at all. Like, we haven't had any kind of massive... Like, I think Hellblade 2 is the first game that really looks like it's going to graphically push these systems, right? I mean, can you see any games that really think, like, justify getting a Pro? I don't think so, personally. I think we're still early in this generation for one, myself.
Well, bear in mind, certain games, like, has this, like, additional ray tracing mode that if you enable it, it could reduce the resolution and some other qualities, where if you turn it off, you get better graphics and minus the ray tracing. Like, on Cyberpunk, you can have Cyberpunk without the ray tracing for 60 frames per second, but otherwise, if you enable ray tracing, you get 30 frames per second.
Yeah, I mean, there's always performance. Yeah, so that's the thing. So you have performance versus visual modes. That's the thing, right, at the moment. So maybe the PS5 Pro will, like, you can have both. You can have your cake and you can eat it, which I never understood that expression. Why would you have a cake and not eat it? You're just looking at it, would you? Like, having your cake and eat it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's beside the point. Maybe you can have performance and you can have visuals. Maybe you can have 60 frames per second and 4K. Possibly. It doesn't sound like this is much more powerful. It doesn't sound like this has enough power to really do that on a lot of these games, to be honest, from what I've heard. Maybe I'm wrong, but from what I've heard, this doesn't sound like much of a generational leap when it comes to the graphics. What do you think?
Bear in mind that the last generation saw PS4 Pro and Xbox One X, yeah, with X like having the bit of a better performance boost compared to PS4 Pro. And I think it is the best version of Xbox One.
Yes.
But the reason these versions of the systems existed so it can get to 4K resolutions is a massive selling point. But the only thing I can see with PS5 Pro and PS5 Pro and Xbox Series X, whatever that Pro version is, would be to having more graphical power to allow more ray tracing at the higher resolution and higher frame rates. Yeah. And that's how I would see it. But with a PS5 Pro, likely to boost the GPU, I think it's quite likely you may allow more ray tracing than more efficient modes. But it just really depends if the games are going to catch up to those changes, or whether it will be in the new 3DS thing, where new 3DS systems that it has an increased processor,
yes,
but you had to buy it for certain games like Xenoblade Chronicles because it relies on, yes, a faster processor.
That was a weird one, wasn't it? Because it was like a mid-gen refresh of the 3DS, but it was also a new console. It was weird, that was. Yeah, they had exclusive games to the 3DS, like, Pro or, like, the Power, like, the new 3DS, which is weird. If they had exclusive games to PS5 Pro, they would not sell very well. I mean, they're already struggling to sell games on their PlayStation 5. I imagine all of these games would be cross-compatible with whatever you've got. Yeah, I feel like generations are becoming less of a thing, hilariously, considering PlayStation said they believe in generations. They've been the most adverse to moving away. Like, this does still feel like we're in the PS4 generation with a handful of games getting visually upgraded for PS5. Yeah, I don't see the point yet when they haven't, as I said, they haven't really scratched the surface with the current PS5, so I don't see the point, personally. But, I mean, the only argument, valid argument I've heard about the Pro is that GTA 6 is coming out next year, and people are going to want to play that on the most powerful system they can, and it's not coming to PC. So if there's a Pro version of the PlayStation, there's not a Pro version of the Xbox, and you want to have the best looking version of GTA 6, then you're probably going to buy a Pro, aren't you? I mean, that's the thing. That's the only argument I've really heard that really justifies it to me. But even then, I'm like, is it that big of a deal to have slightly better graphics on the Pro? I don't know. I'm not super interested in getting a Pro. The rumor is that Xbox are not bothering with a Pro this generation. I mean, should we talk about how this affects Xbox, I guess? Because we're talking about the PlayStation side of it, really.
Yeah, this leads to the actual topic, is with the PlayStation 5 Pro leaked,
yeah,
what does this mean for Microsoft? Will Microsoft finally get to play the A game by unveiling the new version of Xbox Series X upgrade?
I don't know. So, obviously, the leaked information, which was leaked from a court case, was that they're saying that this year we're going to get the Xbox Series X all digital, which is just as powerful as the current Series X, but it's more like cylindrical, like a tube shape, and it has no disc drive, but it has 2 terabytes of space in it. So that's like what we're supposed to be getting this year. And then next year, the rumor is that we might be getting next gen in 2027. So essentially, instead of doing a Pro model, instead of getting the Series X Pro, we might get the next generation of Xbox 2 years earlier than PlayStation, because they want to try and get an advantage on PlayStation. The most successful Xbox console of all time was the Xbox 360, and that came out 2 years before the PS3, and I think they're trying to replicate that with whatever their next Xbox is going to be. So that's possibly what their goal is to release a next-gen console in 2027, which means we've got another 3 years with these consoles, but then that means that they're going to be next-gen 2 years earlier than PlayStation. At least that's the rumour. Also, rumour are that, I think I mentioned this before, but the rumour is that they also might be making a handheld Xbox that's got a docking station that's very similar to the Switch, so they can compete with the Switch and compete with the PlayStation in the marketplace, which would be interesting. I don't know. I mean, are you interested in the all digital cylindrical Xbox Series X all digital, or are you going to skip that when it moves straight to the next gen console that comes out in 2027?
To me, I just feel that it's probably a skippable one, because I just recently brought up a leaked image of a new Xbox cylindrical, which is shown like last year.
Yeah.
And apparently the biggest change is that it gets rid of the disk drive, like you said, but it offers USB 3 on the front port along with a 2 terabyte drive, but it has more, it's more energy efficient because it reduces PSU power by 15% and also offers a new low power standby mode. And I don't think it has any additional things to suggest it like has a much more powerful graphics, but it does offer like Bluetooth 5.2 and Wi-Fi 6E. I think it just seems like they are trying to make it more efficient than trying to put more extra power on the system.
So it seems like this Xbox Series X all digital is essentially their equivalent of the Slim. So the PlayStation 5 Slim just came out recently. or it's not called a Slim, but it essentially is. It's like a slightly smaller version of the PS5. This is essentially their version of that. So I'm assuming that if we do get a Pro version, it'd be next year. But we're going to have the Slim, a cylindrical version this year. I don't know. I kind of want it because I like to have all the Xboxes, but probably won't get it because I've already got the Series X and I use my Series X every day. It's interesting. Obviously, people always talk about preservation, keeping games preservation with discs and stuff like that. But I paraphrased it a little bit, but there was an interview with Phil Spencer where he said that games consoles are pretty much the last technology group to still have a disc drive. Like, most things have moved away from discs. Like, you got video and music and all that. Most of that is digital only. You can still buy like vinyl CDs and stuff, but that's more for collectors. I do feel like the price of disc drives are increasing and the need for a disc drive is decreasing, so it makes sense to me to get rid of the disc drive, but it does kind of suck that that's going to be the future of consoles. That I think that, I mean, the PS6 is probably gonna be all digital as well, so get prepared, guys. The disc drives are going away. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not particularly good, but then you have an Xbox Series S. So it just makes me think for the refreshers that I don't really care about the leaked images. I think that Microsoft were to listen to me is that I don't want to go on like a broken record like from the previous podcast, but Xbox Series X internals in the Xbox Series S casing, make it happen, and that will be the Xbox Series S. But if you're going to do anything about the new version of Xbox Series X, it desperately needs extra graphical capabilities, just like the leaked PlayStation 5 Pro, because people would definitely mind about having a new console, a newer version of a console that has improved technologies for not only like higher frame rates and resolutions, but also have ray tracing as well, because they definitely mind about having to keep it as a native 4K as well as like 60 frames per second with ray tracing, and not all games can offer all three of those. No. So if we were to see anything like that, then Microsoft needs to make that happen. But I think the chances are that we may most likely see the handheld Xbox than any of those refreshes.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, it is possible the history might just repeat itself, because what happened was with the PS4 generation, we had the PS4 Pro, as you said, and then the Xbox One X came out about a year later, and it completely destroyed the Pro. The PS4 Pro is nowhere near as powerful as the Xbox One X. The Xbox One X was like the state-of-the-art console for the time. It was a monster, which still stands up today. In some ways, it's more powerful than the Series S, which is kind of crazy to think. In some ways, it varies. But they could do a Pro version. I'm kind of happy with the idea of them just skipping to the next generation. I maybe release the Slim one this year, and then 2027 go, right, we're bringing out our next console, the Xbox 5 or whatever they're going to call it, the Xbox, whatever they want to call it. I've always thought, this is going off a tangent now, but they named the Xbox 360 the 360 because they didn't want to call it the Xbox 2, because it's 2 is less than 3, which would be the PS3, right? This is going off a tangent a little bit. And then that's where they've avoided having numbers in their names. But I think if the next PlayStation is the PlayStation 6, they should just call the next Xbox the Xbox 7, even though it's the only fourth generation. Just skip to like the and it's like, look, 7's better than 6. This is the Xbox 7. It's better than the Xbox. It's better than the PlayStation 6. They've had multiple versions. They can say this is the 7th one, even though it's not really. I think that's what they should do. I think the next console should just be called the Xbox 7, but that's just my opinion. That's just a theory.
Like they would name the Xbox being the Xbox 1440.
Wow. 4K. The Xbox 8K.
Well, no, I mean 1440 if we're going to go by the degrees. But yeah, then people were thinking like, oh, it's going to be like at 1440p resolution.
Yeah, that's why I don't think that's a good name. That's what I'm thinking, because I was like, I know you were referencing the rotation, but it does sound you're talking about the resolution. That's why I said call it the 8K, the Xbox 8K. What else could you call it? Names for Xboxes. Let us know in the comments below what you think they should call the next Xbox. It's going to be something stupid, because the names are... That's the only thing with Xbox. They always have bad names.
Like Xbox Series Triple X.
The next one will be something like Xbox Generation S or Generation X, or it'll be like Xbox Version S and Version X. Like, it'll be just another word similar to Series. It'll just be like that, which will just be a different word.
Well, make it more confusing, like Xbox E2.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. E2. E2. E.T. On home. Call it the Xbox PS6. Just one word.
Xbox XX, or the smaller version being Xbox XY.
The Xbox.
Or just like make it good. Make it Xbox XXY.
Yeah. Or they should just go fuck it. Let's call it the Y box. Or the Z-Box. That's next gen right there. Boom. Skipping to the next letter in the alphabet.
To be honest, I think at this rate, I would be happier to see the Xbox handheld and have like a Switch competitor or the Steam Deck competitor than like a new Xbox system. Because I think at this rate, I think it's better to go handheld than like taking it seriously as a console. I mean, seeing with like Steam Deck and the Asus Ally, yeah. I mean... These are the directions that Microsoft should be able to follow to survive. But then, I don't know what's up with the PlayStation, whether they would continue making systems like this. But I think either way, the future is going to be skewed because you're going to be going through the PC and mobile routes. And I'm not looking forward to it. No.
I mean, that is the future of Xbox, is that they play everywhere, isn't it? They want to be on TVs, they want to be on phones, they want to be on they want to be on PlayStations, for Christ's sake. They want to be on... the mobile phone, they want to be on your toaster, they want to be on your smart fridge, they want to be everywhere. They're going to be everywhere in your life, which I'm kind of down. I like having I like being able to play my games on multiple devices, so I'm kind of cool with that, but we'll see how it goes. Is that it really? I think that's really all our discussion for
today. I think that's pretty much it, because originally we were going to have Rooster Teeth as a topic. Then why would you go for that if you can just like have other interesting topics like Fallout or even Peter Moore talking about the Xbox is already doomed from the Xbox 360 days, those sort of things.
Well, there's been a couple of weird interviews coming out recently from different people. We could have talked more about them, but I feel like they were just conjecture a little bit. I'm looking forward to seeing what this next-gen Xbox is, if it ever comes out, or like the Pro version. I'm wondering if the cylindrical Xbox is what we're getting this year or not. I'm hoping we'll hear about that in June in the showcase. But yeah, interesting stuff. I still love my Xbox. I still think it's a great system. And now I have a ROG Ally, just in case it all goes to shit. But no, we love Xbox here, and I'm really interested to see what happens next. The PS5 Pro is going to be interesting when it comes out, and I'm hoping that Xbox has a good counterpunch to that, you know, to fight back. You know, I'm hoping they do. But what you guys think, let me know in the comments below, and let us know what you would call the next Xbox. That's our community question of the day.
Speaking of the questions, last question for the Chief.
Ooh, last question for the Chief!
So, I'm going to ask you, what is your favourite moment in Red versus Blue entirety?
Oof,
any season of Red versus Blue, what's your favourite moment?
I don't know. I don't really remember much of it, to be perfectly honest. Caboose always used to make me laugh. Trying to think now. It's been a while since I've watched Red versus Blue, to be fair. Like Donut and all that, and Griffball becoming a thing, like outside of it. I always enjoyed Griffball Griffball as a thing is one of my favorite modes in Halo history. I haven't really got a moment that really stands out to me, but I always enjoyed Red versus Blue. I think the thing that always stands out to me when you think about it is literally the first two or three lines of the show, like, why are we here? It's like, well, that's one of the great questions, isn't it? Like, that, like, that's one of the most iconic scenes in Red versus Blue, and it's literally the first two lines of the series. So I'd probably go with that, to be honest. But there's so many funny bits in it, and it's, yeah, it's a classic for a reason.
I'm pretty sure my memory is better, though, and recognise all those moments there.
Yeah,
so I think I'm on. So I think the question is really meant for me. So yeah. Lots of good moments. PDSAs are like much better, are more recognisable because you only like get singular episodes where they just go through this thing, and I think it just really makes it some observational skits, and I have a lot of memories. Like, I think there was a PDSA, well, it's more of a short that you can find on every Xbox 360 at the time, and it talks about like how the Blaze has been like hidden behind the walk with the machine gun, and there's like Sergeant Everyone saying,
I remember that.
Well, we figured out what they could be, these walks, but turns out that they are not really walks. And then, like, oh no, we've been bombarded. And then someone that came in and said, like, oh, hi, where do I find the headlight fluid? What the?
Headlight fluid,
it's just this way. And then they just talk about Xbox 360 having, like, other features there. So, and then it just leaves the Sarge saying, look, I don't know how to whip the DVD. I don't know. You just buy the new one, douchebag. That sort of thing. But that wasn't my, like, favorite moment. I think there's some like favorite moments from there, but I don't know what's the really good ones. But I think one of my favorite jokes is that, you know, the church that gets killed and then possesses a body.
Yeah.
One of the latest episodes is that when Church discovers a alien or some sort, he just then appears as a ghost, and it leaves the text saying, I guess there's someone that scared a ghost out of you or some sort.
Okay.
And that is, like, really one of the huge jokes. Also, there's, like, Caboose being possessed by the AI. And so it's like, hey, I'm Caboose, and I hate babies.
Caboose is the best. Like, Caboose is my favourite character. I haven't watched it in years, but I used to love Caboose as my favourite back in the day, for sure. And Sarge.
I'm not sure about how, like, they threw action in that. They seem to, like, have action back to back with the comedy segments, like a some kind of chocolate broccoli, but you think it's just, yeah, you know, like you just have this chocolate and then you bite into it and you see broccoli with it.
Sure, we can get what you mean.
But I think it's just, it's really good about the action moments because these are like animated by Monty Hume, and those action sequences are so great.
Yeah.
They led to like having Ruby made by Rooster Teeth, and I thought that was a bit weird at the time because Rooster Teeth is known for their comedy, especially with Red vs. Blue.
Yeah.
But I think these sort of action sequences are like really cool, but it just feels like some kind of like the Simpsons segment to the Tracy Ullman show.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's just like, I think the seasons 1 to 5 are like have the best moments in the Blood Gulch Chronicles,
yes.
And I think we can all agree with that.
Exactly, yeah. And I just love like they had like a videos basically when the DLC came out for Halo, when it was like Forge mode. You'd had like these special videos from Red versus Blue guys, and then they also brought Red versus Blue back for when Fortnite had Blood Gulch added to it and like Halo characters and stuff. So, I mean, it's a cool little thing that they had for a long time, and it's sad to see it over. And I think, yeah, as you said, Xbox should buy it. I don't think they will, but they should, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I think that's it, isn't it? Yeah? Or...
Yeah. I think it's best to wrap this up because it's almost 2 hours, but this is quite a bumper episode. But at least we're not like PS3 Trust Guys where we go for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Complete with 2 hours of Davey's monologue.
Yeah, Davey monologuing. Check out our PS3 Trust. We love those guys. There are like cousin podcast or sister podcast, whatever we want to call it. There are rivals. We need to beat them in battle.
In Helldivers 2 with airstrikes.
Yes, I'll just blow them up with my airstrikes. That's the thing. I'm a spy. That's secretly what I've been up to. I've just been killing them from the inside. No. Nah, those guys are great. Check them out. Check out Phil's new channel. As I said, he's only just started one. Davey's just hit 5,000 subscribers on his personal channel, as is J Davey. I'm nearly at 5,000 subscribers on my channel, Potato Pro Wrestling. Go check it out. WrestleMania's coming. If you love wrestling and you want to watch someone talk about WrestleMania, please check it out. I got a new GM series on there on WWE 2K27, which I should have... 24? I'm tired, I'm sorry. Yeah, so I just started doing WWE 2K24 on Xbox on my channel. So check that out. I should have said that in games I've been playing. So check that out, Potato Pro Wrestling. I really appreciate it because I'm that close to 5,000 subscribers. Please help me. I just want to get over the line.
Well, it's not that far off, really. You just less than the 100 subscribers before. Yeah. But I'm looking for the video where you play Glorious over it and say, 5K!
Yeah, I can't wait. I need to do that. Well, when it happens, if it ever happens. So I've been stuck at 4,900 odd for like about 2 years now. For some reason, I just can't get over that hump. Please help me get to 5,000, I beg you.
Also, the DK meme X Hi-Fi Wash is now nearing 50k views. Ooh. Which is already competing with the other videos on the Pro Wrestling channel. Yeah, I just checked out, and the DK meme video is like, it's more popular than all the videos except for the Nakamura theme one, which is at 69,000 views.
69. So. Yes, that's random. But yeah, if you want to help, check out my channel, please. It's so close to WrestleMania. If you love wrestling, please check it out. And we're nearly at 400 subscribers here on Xbox The Box as well. So we appreciate that.
Instant success. Just add 50 subscribers. And it says like 4.95k subscribers. So don't delay. Describe.
Thank you guys for watching. We really appreciate it. As I said, community question of the week. What will you call the next Xbox generation? If you were in charge of Xbox, what would you call it? Let us know in the comments below. Thank you guys for watching. And until next time, too sweet. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Xbox The Box podcast. Follow us at XboxBox on Twitter or XboxTheBox on YouTube. And follow us on all audio podcast services. Thanks for listening.